You're listening to 89.1 WEMU, and this is Art and Soul. This is Lisa Berry, and this week Art and Soul is about the art of well-being. Emotionally aware and balanced, perhaps mindful, and finding ways to get through the day just feeling okay. And have you ever stopped to realize or listen to that voice in your head? Our guest this week has written a book about it called Chatter, and he joins us now. Welcome Dr. Ethan Cross, award-winning professor in the University of Michigan Psychology Department and director of the Emotion and Self-Control Laboratory. So glad you're taking the time to talk to us today.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Do you think most people are aware of that voice in their head?
I think there's a lot of variability. I think some people are very much aware of when the voice in their head is, in particular, not being a present companion, like when we're ruminating or worrying or catastrophizing about things. That's what I call chatter, when we start getting stuck in these negative thought loops that can make it difficult to really live a productive and happy life. I think when that happens, a lot of people are aware of that voice in their head. But in other circumstances, when things are working out well, they may be less aware of it. You know, we use this voice in our head a lot. We use it when we're often simulating and planning things in the future. So before I give a big presentation, I often rehearse what I'm saying, what I'm going to say during that talk in my head. Sometimes I'll even hear what a person in the audience, what question they're going to ask. I simulate what they're going to ask me, and then I respond back. All of that's happening in my head. It's all using that voice in my head. And I don't know that before I started studying this, I really made that connection between that very common experience.
Do you think most of us use that voice in our head for good or evil? I mean, does it benefit us, or is it chatter, monkey mind, and it's adding to your own anxiety or possible other negative mental health situations?
Great question. The voice in our head can have positive or negative manifestations. It's interesting. Often when I talk about this work to people, and in particular folks who are struggling with chatter, which I define as the negative manifestation of the inner voice. Chatter is getting stuck in those negative thought loops that lead you to be anxious and depressed and catastrophize about things. When I speak to folks who are experiencing chatter, they often say, oh, please help me figure out how can I just silence that inner voice? I don't want to hear it. I think silencing your inner voice entirely would be a bad move, because the inner voice can be so amazingly helpful for us. What the inner voice means is this is our ability to use language silently, to do different things in our lives. And we use that language silently to do lots of different things, like keep information active in our head, but also to do other things like simulate and plan. We use our inner voice to innovate, to problem solve. We use it to control ourselves. We use it to make meaning out of our negative experiences or positive experiences in ways that help shape our sense of who we are. So language and the ability to use language silently in the head, this is an incredible tool that you wouldn't want to live without. And so the real challenge is, how can you make this tool work for you rather than succumbing to chatter, which happens at times? And that's what my book, Chatter, is all about. It's recognizing that the inner voice is a basic feature of the human mind that can sometimes get us into really significant trouble. And when that happens, what does science have to say about the tools that exist to help us reduce the chatter so that we can use our inner voice towards positive ends?
And how do we use it? Is it a matter of writing something down and repeating it to yourself, or what's your method?
Well, you know, there is no single tool. There's no magic pill, no silver bullet, one tool that works for all people in all situations. What I talk about in the book is the idea that we've evolved to have a toolbox, many, many different tools for managing this chatter. And you could think about these different tools. I talk about 26 or 7 in the book. They fall into different buckets or categories. There are things you could do on your own, ways of changing the way you're thinking about the situation that can help you manage your chatter. There are ways of leveraging your relationships with other people, right? Finding certain people who are skilled at helping you manage your chatter that can be very useful. And then there are environmental tools, ways of interacting with your physical spaces that can be really helpful too. And the tools are not mutually exclusive, right? You can use lots of different tools in combinations to help yourself. So each one of those categories, things you do on your own, relationships with other people, the physical environment, each of those buckets have lots of tools within them.
How key is it to even be aware that you have this voice in your head and how it's impacting how you feel and move through the world?
I think it's really important because the more we can acknowledge the fact that we have this, that this voice in our head is a feature of the mind that can sometimes lead us astray, acknowledging that allows us to be a lot more deliberate about how we might go about intervening if we find that voice is taking us down the wrong path. You know, the inner voice and chatter, part of the reason I find these so fascinating is, on the one hand, the voice in our head is something we are intimately familiar with, right? Many people who are listening have had the experience of, you know, getting stuck in verbal rumination and worry, or they have, like, planned things in their head, simulating what they would say on a date or during a presentation. It's a very, very familiar experience. But we don't tend to talk about this very private experience with other people. This voice in our head is also very mysterious. But the really cool thing is that there's a lot of science out there that exists that tells us what this voice is. It tells us why we have one. And it tells us what we can do if that voice in our head isn't serving us well. And you know, a big part of writing this book was to string all of that together.
Speaking of tools, you have a chatter quiz on your website, and we'll put a link to that here with this interview on our website, WEMU.org. And I got six right, focusing on the positive. The one that I got wrong was venting emotions reduces harmful mental chatter. And I said true, and it was false. So we have these voices in our head, but not... Is it not a matter of giving voice to the voice or venting? Is there a difference? Is that a fine line?
Yeah, well, first of all, 6 out of 8 is pretty good. So that's not
quickly.
A score to be shy about. And definitely would encourage folks who want to learn more about their inner voice and how much they know about it, go take the quiz on my website, www.ethancrosscareoss.com, and you'll find more information about the book there too. Venting, you know, I spent a chapter talking about venting, and it's a really interesting phenomenon because there's an idea out there, it's a really popular idea, that when you're experiencing chatter, what you should do is find someone else to express your feelings, to really unload. What the science says is that venting alone isn't helpful for allowing people to work through their chatter and feel better about what's bothering them. What venting does is it's really helpful for enhancing the bonds between people, right? So if we're buddies now and something's bugging me, it feels good to know that there's another person out there that's willing to listen to me and what happened to me and how I felt. So venting can be good for those interpersonal relationships.
So much more we could talk about, but we're out of time. The book is called Chatter, The Voice in Our Head, Why It Matters, and How to Harness It. And thank you so much, Dr. Ethan Cross from the University of Michigan Psychology Department and author of the book, for joining us here on 89.1 WEMU.
Thanks for having me.